97.5, The Fanatic.
The Sixers with a 109-104 victory down there at the center this evening over the New York Knicks. Joel Embiid finishing with a double-double, and after the game saying he will play in the upcoming back-to-back with the San Antonio Spurs and the Miami Heat, both games at the center on Friday and Saturday, respectively. So I said to myself, when was the last time we saw Joel Embiid in a back-to-back situation? And it was in January of last year when he played at home against Washington, played 23 minutes in a win, a 17-point win for the Sixers. And then the next night they played at Washington, and he played 34 minutes in a 17-point loss. So that was the last we saw him back-to-back. Again, we heard it from him. He said, I will play in both games this weekend. We shall see if, in fact, it comes to fruition. I can't imagine he would be telling us something that he didn't get cleared already by the team. So he had 23 points, 12 boards, 5 assists, a key three-pointer in the closing minutes, a big fourth quarter for the Philadelphia 76ers when they outscored New York 35-25. The biggest, best number for me, 30 assists in this game on 39 made field goals for the Sixers that they got down 17. Yeah, bit of a bummer. But how they got back in it and how they eventually won it with their defense, which started with Ben Simmons, in my opinion. And so they had a very good final quarter and a half. Let's check in with Jamar in Willingboro. Jamar, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, dude?
Doing all right.
Look, I just want to talk about Brett Brown and with the using of Joel. I don't understand why we have him running around on the perimeter setting screens. I really don't. Because it actually baits him into the three-pointer, and it baits him into when they give him on a roll that he has to dribble from that high position to possibly get a turnover. It's like you're using him at the weakest part of his game.
Well,
to me, that's coaching.
Well, Joel prefers to take people off the dribble as opposed to posting them up, you know, back to the basket.
Wouldn't that be coaching anyway? Like, I know what he would prefer. Like, if it's me, I'm saying, Joel, the only place you're setting screens is along the baseline to keep him around, like, the lower half under the foul line.
Well, let me ask you, a year ago, did it bother you with all his dribble handoffs with J.J. Redick?
I understood that because J.J. Redick couldn't create his own shot. But Josh Richardson and those guys, it was a reason why he was doing that. To now, I don't see a reason for him to do that. Is there guys that can create their own shot on our team?
Well, the only thing I will tell you, because Tobias was asked about it, because that's the one who's doing it more often now with him. And part of that was because Tobias was struggling with his outside shot. And I don't know if that's what he wanted to try to get himself going from long distance.
And I'll ask you this. Why couldn't Al Horford do that then? I mean, Al Horford, to me, that's his shot.
Yep.
It leads him up top.
Well,
up at the top of the key or the three-point.
All right, let me ask you one more thing. And, again, I don't have all the answers to this, but I do know that Ben needs to post. He's got to be down on the low block at some point because that's where he's going to get his shots if he's going to score for you. So,
look,
you can't clog it all the time.
I'll say this, D. We hear about this clogging of Joel. We watch centers play with guys that post up, guys that dribble to this court. I've seen Shaq. Shaq couldn't move 5 feet from the court. He wasn't clogging it up for Kobe. You understand what I'm saying? I know Kobe shot jump shots and stuff like that, but he got a lot of dunks. When you watch Yao Ming play with Tracy McGrady, he was driving.
You're also going back some years where the game's a little different now.
I'm just talking about.
I know what you're saying. I'm just saying, and I said it earlier. I think only having listened to Brett Brown yesterday and then going and looking at some of the things he was saying, it's not a traditional starting five. That they have a lot of differences there. As I said, Embiid doesn't, he doesn't, you're right, it is, some of it is coaching, but you're also wanting to, you want the guy to be comfortable too. And he's not,
but that's some,
he's,
I'll say that it's not letting his game evolve though. Like his basketball IQ is low. Let's be real. Joel's basketball IQ is low. This is a guy that's been playing basketball a few years.
I wouldn't call it his IQ low.
I mean, if you have if you have a lot of turnovers like that, you can't have a high IQ.
Well, basketball. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Luka Doncic has basketball IQ?
Well, you're talking about first because he has a lot of turnovers?
Yes.
I would say he has a high IQ. Yeah,
yeah, that's just because you just said if you have that kind of turnovers, then you don't have high IQ.
Because I'll say this. That I haven't seen Brett Brown evolve these guys' game. When I look at it, when they do a pick and roll on defense, it's obvious where the pass is going. Joel's not there.
You're preaching to the choir. I'll agree with you on that. But I will say it's not totally on Brett Brown. I think that now tonight is the night where I can't come at Simmons because he looked the way I wish he looked more nights. I mean, that's a really good Ben Simmons performance. But I think there are a lot of nights that he doesn't look like his game has evolved. And I would agree with you, there's a lot of nights that it doesn't look like Joel's game has evolved.
And that's to me, if you got a coach that could draw that out of you to bring you to that next level, I think there lies the difference. I think that's the difference. You got to get it. And look, I love Brett Brown, what he did for us. But I think we're off that now. And we're still stuck. Like, you'll hear people call up saying, trade Ben, trade Joel. I'm not trading either one of them until I feel as though we have another coach or somebody else that could possibly try to see what they have in them to get to the next level, if it is a next level for these guys. Because right now, to me, it seems like they're treading water. They're running in place.
All right.
They're not growing.
I hear you, Jamar. I appreciate the phone call, and thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. And this is part of what makes it so interesting with both of those guys, because I'm just going to throw numbers at you. 23 and 12 boards for Embiid, 18, 13 assists, 7 boards for Ben. He makes his first NBA three-pointer, 1 of 1 from distance, 7 of 9 from the floor. He even made 3 of 4 free throws, and it feels like it's treading water. They're 5-0 at home. What else can I say? You know, defensively, to finish the game, you can complain about early on or in recent games, where has that defense been? I get it. I get that they are not, that they at times are troublesome. At times they make you want to just say, what? Why can't you give us more? Or why can't you, Ben, give us what you gave us tonight more consistently? I'll agree with that. Let's check in with Lance in Arizona. Lance, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, couple things. So my first thing is, I know they're going to play more together and they should get better. And Brett said to you that by December that's going to turn up. I don't think it is. I think this is a fundamental problem. You built your foundation on sand. And if your foundation is built on sand, it's going to be unsturdy every time you go. They were supposed to just be a juggernaut. That's what they were supposed to be. And that's how they were going to win games. And currently, they play some teams, and they just lack the defensive effort.
Right. Well, why do you say it's built on sand? As I said, he wants to figure it out, and he called it not traditional in many facets of that starting five. But he likes the talent that he has, and he wants to make it work. So I'll go with him until I absolutely am convinced it can't work.
Well, my reason is they're not a good enough shooting team. None of those guys are a good enough shooting team. Like, if you look at the analytics with Al Horford, before they signed him, his best games came on offense at center. They didn't come at power forward. That's why the last couple of years he's been playing center, is because he's not a good enough shooter out there. So now you have two guys out there that should really be playing center. And the problem with their offense, people want to complain about why is Joel Embiid on the perimeter, because Al Horford plays great on the low block. Ben Simmons plays great on the low block. Joel Embiid plays great on the low block.
Agreed, and that's part of that. That is part of what Brett is trying to figure out, because on given possessions, he would say, you know, if it's Ben on the low block, okay, that real estate is currently occupied. Now, what do you do with Al and Joelle in those situations? Or how can they learn to be comfortable being somewhere else while that real estate that they like so much is occupied by somebody else?
But the problem is it might never work.
Well,
you might think that it could. You could give it time. I'm not saying to trade them right now. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is fundamentally, it could just not work where you have too many guys that all do the same thing and aren't good enough as a shooting team in the NBA where you need shooters now. And
totally. I agree with you, Lance. I agree. I mean, tonight's not a night you should be complaining about their outside shooting. You can say on
well,
the
no,
year,
but
they shot 40% from three today, and they took 32, which I think is a nice number. I'm not one of those that thinks you should launch 48 threes in this league.
No, I don't either. But the fact is, they're not going to play the Knicks every night. To me, I look at it this way. I want to see what they do against Miami because that's a team that's going to make the playoffs. They're playing over expectations right now.
Yes.
But I want to see what they do against better teams because, to me, that's who you have to beat.
I totally agree.
I think some of their problems is that they don't get up for games because they're just waiting until the playoffs to just put the metal to the pedal and go.
And that won't work.
I think that's also a problem.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't do it.
No.
It doesn't work.
I totally agree, Lance. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it all the time. The other thing I will throw there, they're 5-0 at home. I'm a big proponent of saying you got to be better than 500 on the road, and right now they're not. They're 4-5, but that is 9 road games already when you've only played 14. So I think it is fair to let's see where it goes. Let's see where it goes. But yes, Lance, you have a very good point. You have a lot of guys who like to be in the same place, and you do not have, to this point, consistent outside shooting. Tonight, they got some outside shooting. And by the way, Mike Scott was one of the better ones and at key points in this game. And when all was said and done, he had 4 made threes, 12 points, 12 critical points coming off the bench. We check in with Howard in Newtown. Howard, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, hi, D. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Yeah, sure. I have serious concern with Brett Brown in-game substitution. It has to do with Kuzma. He wasn't making points. He had no defense. And he kept Trey Burke on the bench. Imagine when Trey Burke came in the game, you saw how Philadelphia made a serious run. So you cannot struggle with on five below 500 teams like the Knicks to be in a tussle with the Knicks. It's uncalled for. So I really don't know whether Brett Brown is the coach to coach this team, or he belongs in Australia or Europe, because he coaches European basketball. There's the NBA, and all the teams are all the guys playing NBA basketball. So you can't experiment. We understand he's trying to develop a bomber, but it doesn't work.
Well, first of all, Furkan played 16 minutes tonight.
There were seven guys
who played more minutes than Furkan tonight. He didn't leave him out there beyond when he wasn't contributing. He made substitutions that took those minutes from Furkan tonight. If you want to say in games past, the OKC game is the unfortunate one that his defense looked like he got exposed down the stretch. But at the time, I say, okay, if he had decided to go with Thibault has made a couple of threes since. But Thibault was struggling mightily offensively at that time. So.
But
tonight, he made the choice. He put Trey Burke in there. It was a winning solution. Mike Scott played 23 minutes, and James Ennis played 23 minutes as well. Guys who were giving him something, he did decide to go with them in critical times.
I understand what you're saying, but you can keep experimenting because it doesn't take a rocket scientist for you to change your game plan.
All right, imagine, so tell me what you want a steady diet of that.
My steady diet is Brett Brown supposed to know when he making substitution, when he know a team is going on a run. You know how to counter your opponent, but he doesn't.
Well, New York, when you mean the 15-0 run to start the third?
Yeah, 15-0 run.
Yeah.
15-0 run.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. And he kept the same players on the court. And he had Trey Bragg on the bench. He had Howard Neto on the bench. So how do you compromise that?
Wait a minute. First of all, he had his starters on the court to start the third quarter.
Correct.
Your starters are supposed to be able to come out of the gate, out of halftime, on your home floor, able to play. Now, that they had it taken to them quickly, in I think 5 minutes and look how many seconds. Yes. The other part of why Furkan was in there is because Furkan started tonight in place of Josh Richardson, who has a hip flexor.
Correct.
So, he did correct that. And went with those three guys I just told you quickly.
Yeah, before you called me out, in addition to that,
Al
Horford was struggling tonight. We understand that not every night will be a good night for every player, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So he had Kyle O'Quinn on the bench. And Kyle O'Quinn is a very good bench contributor. And Al Horford was struggling. Why can't you make that substitution?
Because
you can't allow a game that keeps. I'm seeing this.
Are you going to let me answer why you can't do that? Because you can't play. Because you cannot play Kyle O'Quinn and Joel Embiid together. You're either going to play Kyle O'Quinn as your center with Al Horford, or if Embiid is out there, it's going to be with somebody else at the four. Kyle Quinn's not playing the four.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay.
But he needs to land. He needs to land his in-game substitution.
Okay. I got your point now, Howard. Thank you. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. And I that's not to take anything away from Kyle O'Quinn, who I think has absolutely contributed. And he can make an outside shot. I do agree with that. But he's not going to be your stretch four if you have Embiid on the floor. And if Embiid is able to be on the floor, I want him on the floor because defensively, it definitely helps this team. Still, defensive numbers with Embiid are pretty impressive. Let's check in with Ryan in Deptford. Ryan, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, how are you?
I'm doing well.
I was just thinking, Brett Brown drives me nuts at times, but I don't think people understand. He's basically coaching his fourth different team in 12 months.
Well, that's true, but I mean,
it's four separate teams, and not he's coaching the same team, but four separate groups of players, and it takes a little time to gel. You know, you don't just think about that Miami Heat team with LeBron and D-Wade when they went. When
oh
they
yeah,
came
no,
together.
We've
they went
at
seven
that.
And eight,
yeah.
And everybody was ready to throw them in the toilet.
No, I know.
You know, I mean,
and then they went to the finals, didn't they?
Yeah, a couple of times over.
Yeah,
but the only thing that frustrates me. It's great that Ben hit his first three tonight.
Yeah, I'm surprised more people haven't talked about it.
I don't care if he makes another three the rest of his career. I just want him to be aggressive.
Well, don't you think he was?
Well, no, I know I do. I'm saying I hope it continues.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying I hope it continues. I mean, I would much rather see his free throw percentage go up than his 3-point percentage attempts go up.
Well,
you know?
that's why tonight is maddening to me because
absolutely. I'm sorry, Ted.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, he shoots 7 of 9 at the floor. I'm with you. Give or take that 3-pointer. It really doesn't bother me, but
it was great for the crowd and everything.
Yeah,
like that, but
he did make three of his four free throw attempts. Four is not a high enough number for me. I don't think he gets to the line enough for his size and his capability. But I think the reason that he doesn't do that is because he doesn't shoot 75% like he did tonight at the line.
But I think the thing that I wish more NBA players would or even some of the guys on the Sixers, because some of them guys think they're Ray Allen all of a sudden. he knows that a forced three-pointer is almost like a turnover. It's not a good shot. If he's open, he's going to shoot it.
Well, that one that he had tonight, he was open.
He was open. That's what I'm saying. That's a good shot for him.
And his feet were set.
He's not going to be shooting step-backs.
No.
You know, because it's not a good shot. It's almost like a turnover. He knows that, and we know that.
Yeah. Well, I don't love his fadeaway in the paint.
No, because he's too good. He should be going forward to the basket.
Correct.
And going away.
Correct.
But I would like to see those nine attempts maybe go up to 17 or 18 and the field goal makes because he's so efficient,
yep.
go from 7 to 11.
Sure.
And then improve on the free throw line because that's going to come. And the thing that people don't realize, he's 22 years old.
I think he turned 23, but I'm going to double check.
I apologize. I would like to go back to 23 myself.
I know what you're saying.
But I'm saying people don't realize, he's going to be so good, you just have to be patient. Yeah. I know it's hard to be, but we waited 60 years for a Super Bowl. We can't wait 3 years for this kid to be.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say to that, Ryan, is please show me consistency and improvement in areas.
Exactly.
I'm not saying you have to get 13 assists to one turn every night, but yeah. I would like to see some more consistency with your aggressiveness.
And that's where that's where I'm coming from, dude.
And your intensity.
I don't care if he goes 2 for 19. I can live with that. But give me the 19 attempts. It shows me you're trying to be. I don't want him to scare everybody on the court tonight. In the last 2 minutes, in my opinion,
yeah.
With the exception of Mike Scott, the last 4 minutes, we're scared to be great. You know, who wants to take the big shot?
Yeah,
that's
Mike Scott. Mike Scott.
The one thing with Ben Simmons, to be great at times.
Ryan, Joel Embiid's 3, and by the way, he was 0-for-6 when he took it.
No. I'm not saying just tonight. I mean it in general.
Oh, in general. You know, all right.
In general, like with Ben, I'm speaking more specifically with Ben Simmons. The most frustrating thing about him with me is he's so good, it's frustrating, and I believe it appears that he's scared to be great.
Well, I appreciate the phone call, Ryan. I would say he hesitates to want to be the go-to guy. That's how I would phrase it. 610-632-0975. Philly J, John, coming back to you on the other side. We'll give you your full time. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
With a chance to win the game, 55 seconds to go. Tobias to Joel. Embiid for 3. It's up and in. A dagger from the top. Joel Embiid.
That was with 51.2 seconds remaining, and it took a 4-point lead to 102-95, a 7-point lead for the Philadelphia 76ers. And it was that was Embiid's lone made 3-pointer in this game. When he let that one fly, he had been 0-for-6 from downtown, but that didn't stop him from connecting on that. And he ended up with 23 points. Not a great shooting night for him, but a lot of that had to do with his 3-point shooting, because if you took that 1-for-7 away, he was actually 6 of 12. He was also 8 of 12 at the foul line. So Joel Embiid finishing with 23 and 12. Ben Simmons, far more efficient in shooting. He was 7 of 9, 3 of 4 at the foul line, and 1 of 1 from behind the arc. It was his 18th attempt in his career from 3-point range, and he made it. He made it. Right in front of his bench, his feet were set. The assist went to Furkan Korkmaz, and I shared a stat earlier that was his 18th 3-point attempt of his professional career, but he took 2,076 field goal attempts before he made a 3-pointer. Isn't that amazing? 2,000 plus before you had one made 3. They're not all behind the arc, but I'm just saying that's how many shots he's had, and one made 3. Let's check in with John and Ben Salem. John, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D.
How's it going?
I'm hanging in there. I'm working too, hon. You know me.
There you go.
I'm always listening. I think we might also be a little grouchy from the birds. So the Sixers are taking the brunt of that frustration. Even though they come out with a W, everybody's still got their pitchforks out.
That may be the case. And I think the other part is because you had a Knicks team that comes in, and for most people, they think they're the laughing stock of the league. They only have 4 wins, and they want them to pound them. That's what they wanted.
Well, the NBA's a brotherhood, you know. Maybe they were just trying to help their confidence a little bit before they came back and took the W like they should.
That's right. That'll leave them really weak, right? Actually, and by the way, I just looked in that last break. Marcus Morris. He's
going to get a technical for what he did tonight?
No, he already got it.
No, I mean, but they're going to adjust it and take the one off from Joel Embiid that he shouldn't have got.
Well, and Morris in his post game said, you know, Embiid is too big to be flopping.
I'm censoring myself out of respect for this program.
I'd have to hang up on you, but can you believe that's what he said?
Well, you know what I was going to say, and you know what it is, so I don't have to say it.
There you go.
Before I get to my bell ringer for the night, I did have a purpose to call.
Yes.
And it was, I know you're flying solo tonight, but I hope that your esteemed colleagues, Devon and Joe T, are out there listening. J-Beck and Dylan behind the glass. To all the listeners, you can hear my voice right now. I just wanted to wish everybody a safe holiday. I love my city. I just want to wish all the best and remember to be grateful. And there's a lot that are less fortunate. So let's all, you know, do what we can. You know?
I like it, John. I like it. All right, who's your bell ringer, though?
Oh, now that's a funny one because this is my bell ringer, not like, you know, what happened on the court. My guy's McGinnis. He keeps me connected. He had some really enthusiastic calls.
I'm at work
trying to pay the bills, but he keeps me in touch with my team, and he does such a phenomenal job. So I say, you know what, McGinnis, ring the bell for us.
Oh, there you go. I like it, John.
Get excited.
John, have it as line on the Mike Scott 3.
Oh, stepping out of FDR Park. Yeah, that was lovely, wasn't it?
That was pretty good, I thought.
Blessed because Saunders and McManus did such a great job. McGinnis.
No, I knew who you meant.
And it's funny because McManus does a great job on the station.
That's too. And he was on earlier today. So you got all the right voices.
Hey, listen, you all do a phenomenal job. I'm listening all the time. I appreciate you all very much and have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, John. The same back at you. And thanks for calling the Fanatic. That's hysterical that he has such affection for everybody. Dylan, you got a shout out there. That was perfect. All right, let's go back to some of the numbers from the Sixers win tonight. And I'll just remind people that they did trail 77-60 before closing out the game 49-27. Mike Scott, a number of key threes. He made 4 on the night, 4 of 6 from downtown, 4 of 8 overall, finishing with 12 points. Actually, the bench, I think we should credit a lot to the bench. It did start with Mike Scott, but also James Ennis was excellent. He finished with 11. We've mentioned Trey Burke and the role that he played. He played 15 minutes, but 8.5 of those came in the fourth quarter when Brett Brown said he put him alongside Ben Simmons in Allen Iverson-esque fashion, and it turned out to be successful. Shake Milton gave you some good minutes as well. He played 17, 3 of 6 from the floor. He did not hit a 3. He was not one of, did he? No, he did not. Ennis did. Ennis had 2 made threes. 2 of the team's 13 made. The Sixers came in averaging a little more than 10 made threes per game. So they were above their average. And they shot better than 40% from 3-point. We haven't been able to rely on that, not consistently. Guys who did struggle shooting-wise, Al Horford just 3 of 11 from the floor, and Furkan Korkmaz 1 of 5. And those two guys were in your starting lineup. But when you have two guys in your starting lineup that are struggling, it's nice to be able to go to your bench and get, let's see what we have, 23, 29, 38, 45 points from your bench. That's some quick math there. Let's check in with Philly J in D.C. Philly, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, D?
Doing well.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to that caller, Ryan. He said this is the Sixers, this is Brett Brown's, like, what, fourth team? I am so tired of the excuses. Like, they've had, this is not an in-season trade, D. They've had all off-season.
Agreed.
To know each other's tendencies and stuff like that. I'm going to throw some teams out there for you.
Yep.
83 Sixers, 96 Bulls, 2000 Lakers, 08 Celtics, 2017 Golden State Warriors, this year's Lakers, and this year's Boston Celtics. All made acquisitions and changed their roster and all clicked from the get-go. But yet he brings up what everybody else brings up, the 2011 Miami Heat. which is the outlier. That's like the anomaly.
Right.
Normally when you form.
I don't even think you have to go that. You pointed out the ones. I had a conversation earlier tonight. I would not have anticipated that the Lakers could be playing as well as they are. That roster was completely remade. If you think about it, I mean, that's LeBron and Kuzma return, and maybe there's somebody else there. But I mean, that is you're right. But I mean, that's completely redoing a roster, and they're not wasting time getting good.
No, I'm tired of everybody brings up the 2011 Heat. Normally in the NBA, when you bring a collection of good players, besides the 2012 Lakers when they added Nash and Howard, and that was mainly because of injuries. You know what I'm saying? Normally it works out. You know, them teams click right off the bat. You know what I'm saying? Then, like you say, we got to be patient. We was patient for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. No, we wasn't. We was dying every year the season got ended. You know what I'm saying? Like, and to be patient, I mean, I hope people do know Kevin Durant comes back next year. You know what I'm saying? If we don't.
Oh, I know.
If we don't do it this year, the Nets got a collection of good role players to surround him that can score. You know what I'm saying? I mean, enough with the excuses. If we don't, and I don't really think they will do it. I think they'll probably be like a 52, what they are the last 2 years, a 52, 53 win team, and they're going to get bounced in possibly the second round. You know what I'm saying?
We'll see how it plays out. But I would agree with you this. For instance, I have the Celtics game on in the background here. You know, these guys have 11 wins already, and they're in a battle with the Clippers on the road. So, yep. I mean,
you know what I'm saying? I just don't get the
was just one person. I mean, I would say I had a little bit of empathy when I heard, because I was getting frustrated with the same thing. Like, we're not going to be good or gelling until Christmas. And I heard it, and Al Horford said it again yesterday. But the one thing that I heard was their struggles offensively, or figuring out how to be effective, is taking them longer than any of them had anticipated. Now, I personally would have said, I don't know why you're surprised, because you're playing people in different positions than they have been accustomed to, like an Al Horford at the four, who's been a center all his life in this league.
Uh-huh.
And the other, with playing with two of your two stars, are not traditional at their positions. So
meaning
like an Embiid doesn't really like to play with his back to the basket, as most dominating big centers like he is should. And Ben Simmons at the point guard, you know, he's not a shooter. He's not going to, he got an outside shot today, but he's different. And you have to figure out how to utilize them, and then also the people around them properly, to get the most out of this collection of guys.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just don't really see it with the team. I think when they get in the playoffs, I mean, you've seen Ben Simmons only had one good game against Toronto, and he was awful the year before against Boston. I think
he had that one good game against Brooklyn, too. Remember, after his terrible game?
No, I was talking about like in the second round matchups. He dominated. He played good against Brooklyn, and the year before that against Miami. But I'm talking about the second round matchup.
All right. Yep, fair enough.
I just see a lot of the same stuff, like lackadaisical play from this team, turnovers, playing down to your competition. Like we out here. Like, I know they blew out the Cavs the other night, but they beat them by one the night before. No. Was getting cooked by Charlotte, who's not that bad. Like, I thought they was going to be Charlotte. They got some nice young guards out there. But I just see a lot of the same, you know, fundamental type of issues I've seen the last 3 years. And I don't think anything is going to change.
It is a fair assessment on your part. And Philly J, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. A very fair assessment. Not necessarily on this night, but I hear you, because you have been given other nights, like the one you pointed out, where the Cleveland game, they blow the big lead and end up winning by one on their home floor, and then prove to be able to dominate them a couple nights later on the road. I get it. And you can use the phrase playing down to your competition. Some would say that's what they really did for 2.5 quarters on this night against a 4-win New York Knicks team. And maybe they will learn. Like, you got to put people away. But At the end of the day, they still are perfect at home at 5-0. They've played 9 of their first 14 games on the road. They're 9-5, and we'll see what happens over this next stretch where 13 of 18 are in their home building where they have played very well. Definitely last year, and I would say it started the year before in that 50-win season as well. 610-632-0975, coming back with your phone calls on the other side.
Just stepped out of FDR Park and he reined in a three. Whoa!
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic Pro Shop has arrived. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Open for browsing right now, just in time for the holiday gift shopping season. The Fanatic Pro Shop at 975thefanatic.com. All right, before I go back to the phones, I found this stat, so to speak. So Ben Simmons played 171 NBA games before he made his first three-pointer. There were actually two other guards. I couldn't do every position because I figured I'd find centers back in the day that didn't make a three. So I found two other guards in the three-point shooting era who played more games without a three. James Silas, who played in the early 80s for the San Antonio Spurs, and Tom Henderson played in that same era. So James Silas played 219 games without a made three, and then Tom Henderson 258 without a made three. But this is back in 1983 and 1982, respectively. Ben Simmons is third, but he does have a made three now to his resume. And it came in that first quarter in the corner right in front of his teammates. Let's check in with Tom in Bluebell. Tom, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, we were, I don't know, we were like 20-some-odd years old when that occurred.
Very funny.
So, I know.
Ourselves. I said I had to find some, like, there has to be something historically connected to this. I got to find something that tells people how unique that he would play this many games without a made three.
And I don't respect that, but at least he shot it. And by the way,
actually, it looked good.
It did look good. And it was probably the hardest pass to catch and shoot. From the deep corner?
Yeah. Well,
right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't top of the key when somebody's giving you 4 feet.
No, but I mean, I will tell you that the corner three has a higher percentage of makes than anywhere else on that arc.
Better than the top of the key?
Yeah.
All right, so at some point over the next, 15, 20 minutes, have your guys look at that. I want to see top of the key versus corner.
All right, I'll dig into it. I mean, you can find a guy, a particular person. Standard across the league. All right, go ahead.
So my point being is, I don't blame this. I blame it on Ben. I can't necessarily blame it on Brett Brown.
Wait, what are you blaming?
We need an outside shooter. There's only one way we're going to be. When I say Philly,
yeah,
we're going to be the team. Offense is what? It's time and space. And
sure.
The only way you get that is having a shooter or two.
Well, they would say they have good enough shooters. I'm just telling you that when they constructed this roster, they felt comfortable that
with
with that Tobias with, Harris, Josh Richardson, Al Horford would make given open looks. That's what they felt, and they felt that they were
Horford is when he played in Boston, and he plays here.
Yep.
Do you think his time is different? Like his spacing is different.
Yeah. Well, he's playing a different position.
He is.
Yes.
And he had shooters in Boston, and the guys in Boston, they pulled everybody away from him. He doesn't have any room to shoot. Whiteside, the guy from Miami, he's got the worst looking shot. He's got a worst looking shot than Ben.
Tom, I appreciate the phone call. Whiteside's no longer in Miami, though. He has moved on to Portland. Let's check in with Derek. You will be our last caller tonight. Derek, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, I got lucky. How you doing, D?
You're better to be lucky than good, right?
Right. That's right. Timing is everything.
Yes.
I really want to play coach for 1 second, if you don't mind. Me and you. I want you
all right. Go ahead.
Advice on this. Let's say if we keep Embiid down in the post where he's more efficient, much more efficient, you know, where he can dominate. And then we keep Al down there also. We, you know, play bully ball inside. And Ben Simmons, have them play aggressive all the time.
Yeah, well, they all want to do it from the same spot. Now, I would say you're asking Embiid does get a lot of his points around the basket. He just doesn't get it posting you up. He likes to take you off the dribble more.
Right, but see, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah, we can debate that's not him going to his strength, and there probably is a battle of wills there.
But I would agree with you.
It would behoove him, and it would behoove the team. However, when you deliver 23 and 12, and you got to the line for 12 free throw attempts, and you made 8 of them, I'm not going to complain about too much. Dirk, I got to let you go, but thank you for calling the Fanatic. I hope you have a great rest of your night. We're running out of time here, Dylan. But 109-104, the Sixers pick up their 9th victory of the year. They are now 9-5, a perfect 5-0 at home. They will be playing the San Antonio Spurs on Friday and the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler in town, on Saturday night. And Joel Embiid has declared that he is playing in both games, a back-to-back situation. Thank you to all of you listeners, those of you who called in. We appreciate your time and your conversation. Dylan, thank you for facilitating. And thanks to Tom McGinnis for all those great calls tonight. We appreciate
it. Just stepped out of FDR Park and he reined in a 3. Whoa!
I am D. Lineham. Until I'm with you next time, have a great day.